The Message to Israel. Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu. Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the voice of the Message to Israel.
Shalom Aleichem. Peace be unto you. During World War II, American soldiers stationed on a Pacific island were startled at this announcement posted at the entrance to their mess hall. American soldiers are requested, please, to be a little more careful in their choice of language, especially when nationals are assisting them in unloading ships and trucks and in erecting abodes. American missionaries spent many years among us and taught us to use clean speech. Every day, however, American soldiers use bad words, and the good work your missionaries did in our midst is being undermined by your careless profanity. This was signed by the local Polynesian chief. Approximately 3,500 years ago, the Lord Jehovah published a notice for the benefit of all mankind. It read, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain." This text is part of the guidelines set down in Exodus 20, verses 3 to 11, that govern the nation of Israel's relationship with God. Being part of the moral law of God, they are also designed as guidelines for all men who would live in harmony with the will of God. In the first commandment, we have presented for us the proper object for human worship. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The Lord God demands first place in the worship of men. He stands uniquely alone and does not condone the elevation of anyone or anything on par with him. In the second commandment, we see something of the proper mode or manner of worship that God requires of us. It is to be spiritual, from the heart, with nothing between. The words of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, speak directly to this matter. For he said, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." In this third word from the mind and heart of Jehovah, we see him seeking to govern our attitude in worship. Our worship is to be offered in reverence, and not in frivolity, lightness, and irreverence. Worship, while it does not have to be somber, it does have to be sober, that is, serious. The emphasis on the proper use of the name of God lies in the fact that God's name is not just a mere title or handle, such as we use today to distinguish one person from another. Rather, the very name of God is a revelation of his person and character. The ancient Jewish scribes recognized this fact to the point that when inscribing the scriptures, whenever they came to the name Jehovah, they would substitute another name, such as Adonai or Hashem. A recent Jewish translation of the Tanakh or Old Testament translates this verse as, "You shall not take the name of Hashem, your God, in vain, for Hashem will not absolve anyone who takes his name in vain." What is interesting is that a number of years ago, the Biblical Archaeology Review magazine had an article on the Dead Sea Scrolls. The scholar who wrote the article photographically reproduced some lines of biblical text. The editor noted that the name of God appeared on the plate, and he asked, as did the author, that all who received the magazine would do nothing to defile or disgrace the name of God. As impressive as this concern is for the written name of God, it must be kept in mind that it is even more important in how it is used in our day-to-day speech and shown in our lives. Why this concern for the name of God? Is it not just a way to differentiate him from the ancient Canaanite gods of Baal and Moloch, or the Greek gods of Zeus and Jupiter? Is it but a way of setting him apart from the Asian gods of Shiva or Vishnu, or the newer deities of Buddha and Allah? Consider with me something of the glory of the name of God. In Scripture, we find the name of God to be a unique revelation of his person and character. It is not a title just to set him apart from other deities. Every name or title reveals something of himself, some attribute or characteristic of his personality. As Elohim, which is the plural form of El, he is the omnipotent, all-powerful God. As Jehovah, he shows himself to be the eternal, self-existing God. As Jehovah Jireh, he is the eternal God who provides. As Jehovah Shalom, he is the eternal God of peace. As Jehovah Tzidkenu, he is the eternal God of righteousness. Now these are but five of the many names and titles that Jehovah uses in Scripture to show us something of the true nature and character of himself. Reverence for the name of God was behind Yeshua's encouragement of his disciples to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." That which is stated in the negative in Exodus 20 and verse 7 is spoken in the positive by our Lord Yeshua. His use of the word hallowed means to be sanctified or set apart. To hallow the name of God is to hold it in reverence and use it in such a way that he is honored, exalted, and glorified. The psalmist writes, "O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." There can be no doubt that God has placed a solemn penalty on the misuse of his name. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless or innocent that taketh his name in vain. Ancient Jewish scribes believed that this referred to the use of the name of the Lord in the making of an oath, and then not following through with it. We see the same seriousness in our courts of law, when witnesses are asked to swear to tell the truth, and this oath is taken with their hand on the Bible. To break that oath in a court of law is to be guilty of perjury, a very serious charge, carrying a severe penalty. The misuse of the name of God in any way also carries a severe penalty. In the moments that are ahead, I want to dwell not on how we misuse and take the name of God in vain, but on how we may honor and respect his name. You see, a rule of interpretation is that a negative command may also be restated in a positive way. Therefore, the command, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain," may be restated as, "Thou shalt honor and respect the name of the Lord your God." We honor and exalt the name of God by acknowledging that he stands uniquely alone as God. He is not one among many. But as the Shema of Deuteronomy 6 states, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." A recent Jewish translation of this passage, instead of using Jehovah, uses Hashem and puts it this way, "Hear, O Israel, Hashem is our God. Hashem is the one and only." Jehovah stands alone as the omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent God. We also honor and exalt the name of Jehovah when we acknowledge his claim to be the central focus of our love. Our love for him is to flow from the totality of our being. For Moses writes, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." This all-encompassing love for God will find expression in ready obedience to the commands and truths of God's Word. Even our Lord Yeshua, Jesus Christ, said to his disciples, "If you love me, keep my commandments." We also honor and exalt his name when we worship him aright from the heart, as he demands in Exodus 24-5, and which is encouraged by Yeshua in John 4. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Others may see us in the place of worship, and may even observe our participation in acts of worship, but God alone sees the heart. Others may be deceived, but God will never be deceived. It is possible to engage in the singing of hymns that in their words praise and glorify God, but which never rise higher than the ceiling, because they are not from the heart that is yielded to God. We also honor the name of God when we turn by faith to Yeshua for the forgiveness of our sin and the eternal salvation of our soul. In the Brit Kedushah, or New Covenant, the very Jewish disciple of Yeshua, Simon Peter, on the day of Pentecost said to the many Jews gathered there from all over the world, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And in another place he says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." In the New Covenant book of Romans, the Apostle Paul declares, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It is a well-known fact that when a person turns his life genuinely and by faith over to the Lord Yeshua, the first thing that is cleaned up by the indwelling Holy Spirit is the tongue. Expletives and curse words become a thing of the past. The name of Yeshua, used so freely as an expletive, now becomes the theme of singing and speaking. Instead of verbal cursing, there is the tongue that gives expression to a deep desire to honor and glorify the name of the one who has redeemed them at such high cost. My dear radio listener, I do not question the sincerity of your heart as you seek to worship the Lord. I only urge you to honor the name of the Lord in line with that which the Apostle Peter declares, that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.